Speaker of the House has reported, having said that he would not ever negotiate with the President of the United States again. They had a good and constructive meeting of about an hour where they discussed a range of issues.
The stalemate has ended. 14 months, the two did not hold any secret meetings. They decided to break the ice. The President reached out to John Boehner. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney with this version of America Tonight. Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson, jawing about what was talked about there. Really, he said nothing. It's like a crossword puzzle without a key. We have no idea. Issues that are important, what's not important? We have issues that fill up the page. I was writing the issues down today, and I'm on five pages. I'm not kidding. And we know the top couple of things. Immigration, because that's been talked about for so long, nothing's going to change there. The argument over, do we need to contain our borders, then worry about who's inside the borders and what are we doing, all that nonsense. And, of course, at least we've dialed back on the student visas and followed through on them. If I wanted a student visa and I went to Germany, pick a place, any place, they would be watching me like a hawk. Oh, your expiration date is up? And you want to stay in the country? Nine. See you later. But the immigration riddle is not going to be solved anytime soon. And then, of course, we have the sticky wicket of the deficit. How much worse will it get? One time on this show, several years ago, I joked and said, well, you know what? We're going to see $17 trillion. I mean, we're going to hit $17 trillion. And sure enough, I was right. It wasn't a hard prediction to make because we haven't done anything differently, right? The whole budget issues, what to do there, what about foreign affairs and where we have our personnel now. We're going to talk about Afghanistan on this show and a complete withdrawal. There's a new soap opera brewing between Hamid Karzai and President Obama. Also coming up, your thoughts. We're going to check the mailbag. Herb London joins us. I mean, this guy is the creme de la creme when it comes to think tanks, and he's part of co-authored a book about the mess in the Middle East, frankly, right? And wait till you hear him break it down. The Muslim Brotherhood, what happened in Egypt, and we hopscotch all over the place. So really excited to have Herb on America Tonight. In the meantime, the Ukraine, we can't just drop the ball on the Ukraine and not fill in the blanks for everybody, right? Because we watched the Ukraine burn, or Kiev burn, while the Olympics were going on in Russia. And what they're saying is they're going to protect their bank deposits. That'd be a scary thing to witness, right? 7% of deposits have been withdrawn in 2 days. Think Greece. Think a run on the banks for what little is left anyway. So they're thinking about what they can put in place to make sure, because they've already had that bloody uprising last week. Withdrawals have peaked. $3.1 billion has been taken out. The interim government scrambling to secure $35 billion in money. They need it. Financial aid. They got to worry about a default. The acting president pushed back a parliamentary vote on the formation of a new administration to February 27th, saying that it has to be formed quickly. The U.S., the European Union, pledging to support the government. So just so you know, we're pledging to support the Ukraine. In case you were confused by that, we are. But it is losing steam. The currency is losing steam. The financial lifeline in the Ukraine is starting to peter out. And It's unsettling, to say the least. And here's what the deal is. In the Ukraine's Russian-speaking east and south, that's what you have. In other areas in the city, you have people demanding to not pay attention to Russia. And Russia has a naval base not too far. But they vow they would not meddle in the Ukraine's affairs. And they want the West to follow suit with them. But that's not happening. Because they're not going to let the country drown. So just so you know, we are helping bail out the Ukraine now at this point. Bailing them out. And while we're spending money doing that and trying to find money, Uncle Sam is trying to find money. And here we are, taxes are due. They want your lump sum. So a big warning comes out that you better pay. The tax has to be paid with a tax return. And they're calling it a shared responsibility payment. Oh, I hate these terms they come up with. And we're talking about the individual mandate tax. So when filing your tax returns in 2015, because remember, this is one of the things we talked about. How are they going to know whether you paid into health insurance or not? And that's how they're going to know. They're going to know because you got to tell them and show them. And if for some reason you don't maintain coverage and don't qualify for an exemption, you have to make an individual shared responsibility payment with your taxes. Ugh, that sounds so bad, doesn't it? Shared responsibility. It's like somebody sat in an office and they probably paid them, who knows what they paid them, to sit there, because you know this advice doesn't come free, and threw a bunch of things back and forth, brainstorming this, and said, let's call it shared responsibility. Because then we're saying everybody's responsible to pay for some health care, and we have it available to you, so it is a shared responsibility if you don't want it. Now, once it's fully enacted, and people forget this, the individual mandate tax will go to a maximum of 2.5%. Ooh, 2.5% of the adjusted gross income. Or $2,085, whichever is higher. I just really wonder how many people are going to blow off their shared responsibility payment. And just say, find me and fine me. I think we'll see some of that. For sure. I think we'll see people slurk away from it. Definitely. Coming up on America Tonight, you can throw in your two cents. Afghanistan, should we just say, I'm throwing in the towel, let's fully pull out of this? Hamid Karzai won't sign the bilateral agreement. So for goodness sake, we cannot stay there, don't you think? We got in some details I'll throw in the mix with this one, too. 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
With me, Kate Delaney. Let's go out to Bud in my old stomping grounds of New Jersey. I love taking Bud on the air, by the way. He reminds me of everybody I grew up with. He reminds me of the neighborhood, for sure. Hey, Bud, how are you?
Pretty good, Kate. How about yourself?
You've got to be happy because, you know, it's still cold, but all that snow nonsense is pretty gone, isn't it?
Yeah, everything I can see, the dirt, the leaves, the branches. Now, is that what the ground looks like now?
That's it. You got it.
We had a little snow this morning, not a couple flakes, but tomorrow we're going to get about an inch or two. That's it.
Good.
You mentioned about finding things. I was down Wildwood on a roller coaster. I guess you know where that is, the old
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Okay, I was in the back seat, and I'm sitting there, and I thought I was sitting on my wallet because I had one in my back pocket. But as the thing was going down that big hill, my body shifted. I said, wait a minute, how can I be sitting on another wallet? I looked down on the seat, and there's a wallet there. So I picked it up, put in my pocket. After the ride was over, I went and opened it up. It had $400 cash in it, all the ID, driver's license from Pennsylvania, you name it, it was loaded up, credit cards. So I took it to Wilson Fam, and as I was approaching it and walked in, the guy who rode the roller coaster was there making a report, and I turned it over to him, you know.
Oh!
That was luck for his you know, and I just turned everything over. He gave me $50, you know.
That was good that he did that he gave you the money. That's cool.
Yeah, it was just, you know, finding a wall when you're going down that hill, that roller coaster, you're trying to shift, to, you know, and all this. You know, I said, wow, look at this, a wallet. But see, I don't want other people seeing me doing that because it's, hey, that's my wallet or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happens. That's why they do that. That's why they make you be so that people be specific when there's a lost and found because of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I heard tonight, I was on a program, and tomorrow in C-SPAN, there's going to be an inquiry about SEAL Team 6, the 17 GIs that got killed in the chopper crash.
Oh, yeah, awful.
Right. The father was on live tonight, and his house was bugged. His PC was bugged.
Mm.
And how they did it was they sent him the CD. But every time they were doing something, the dots were approached on the monitor. A man ever thought up here was an expert on computers. So he took it over and realized that the CD was bugged. And every time that he would type, it would go over to the
disk. Oh, that's
they
heartbreaking.
Got lawyers, they got everything. So tomorrow's going to be live on C-SPAN.
Yeah, we'll watch that. Thanks for that heads up, bud. Wow, that's creepy. Ooh. Yeah.
They interviewed the guy who discovered it, the computer guy.
Wow.
And the judge, when they went to court the first time, the judge says, well, he's allowed. He's a third party. He's not getting paid for fixing no computer. He just discovered it. You know, and this guy's pretty smart. He had all the degrees in computer field. You know, he wasn't going to charge a guy, you know, or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. He, you know, helping him out.
And, right.
And that's when you know, everything happened.
That's when it came together. Oh, that's awful, though. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, that's how easy, I mean, of course, that's how easy it can happen. That's part of the whole espionage thing of uncovering information by simply bugging the right person.
And then the last thing was the wife was on the computer, and sees her picture on the computer, on the monitor. So she called the guy up and said, how come my picture's on the computer here? And the man says, you don't have a cam or anything like that. Well, let me come over. And he looked at this thing and says, I hate to tell you, but somebody bugged your house. You've got a small camera in here somewhere, and they were watching them.
So they had to go
and tear the whole house apart and everything else looking for it.
Oh, that's terrible. And they probably got in there so easy, and people don't realize that that's exactly the kind of thing that happens.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to check that out. Bud, thanks for giving us, again, that heads up.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
good.
Have a good night. You too. It's interesting. And, you know, and Bud talks about this with C-SPAN. Every once in a while, you'll get something. If you're flipping around, you hear the same old droning in the background with C-SPAN. But every once in a while, you get some really good coverage of something that they're talking about that you want to know more about it. And of course, anything with SEAL Team 6, and that was awful what happened. And the key thing that was always missing from the story is, well, what really, first of all, what were some more of the details? But how, where did that information come down? What really brought that down? So to me, it can be more fascinating to find out, to know, to have it come full circle and actually know some more details on it. But it makes sense if you think about it, of how would you bug something, especially with the CD coming in. To me, that's a no-brainer. This is just a lesson in stupidness, because Hamid Karzai is living a good life, sorry. And I say he's living a good life, why? Because every Karzai from A to Z is getting a gig where they're getting paid good money to do something related to the government. And now we get another big, fat poke in the eye from Karzai, although this has been building. Because this happened a couple of months ago, originally when he wouldn't sign the bilateral agreement. He had to get a whole bunch of tribesmen to sign off on it, and they all did. So Karzai didn't. So here's the deal. The president, I'm sure they are all over him to do something. He gets on the phone with Karzai on Tuesday. He asked the Pentagon to make sure that the plans are in place to have a withdrawal by the end of the year, because it looks like we're not forging any kind of a bilateral security agreement. That's major. Obama told Karzai that because he has demonstrated that it's unlikely that he will sign the bilateral agreement, the United States is moving toward additional contingency plans, and that's what those plans call for. Forget leaving behind any troops. So the more they don't have something in place, the harder it is to execute it. Any mission, the harder it is. And I think that's because there is a giant deal going on with the Taliban. So if that's happening with Karzai, he's relying on that, and he's saying, yeah, 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 and he lets the whole pullout happen. But it seems odd. I would think Karzai would want the golden goose somewhere close. For money reasons, for extra protection, for whatever, for training, for all the things that the troops left behind were supposed to do. So it's an idiotic thing for Karzai to go in this direction. And good luck trying to get any deployments in the near future. Right now, there are 33,000 troops in Afghanistan. The plans were to leave about 10,000 or so in the country starting next year. But this whole idea of zero option has been floated around for a while because there is no deal in place, and they're not going to do it at the last second. Either he signs it, doesn't sign it, but if he doesn't sign it, there are no troops that will linger in Afghanistan. So after 12 years, they'll be troopless. They will not have the security blanket of Daddy and his war weapons, meaning the good old USA. Boom! They're done. I mean, they're done. I say, bravo, let it be done. If this is what they want, we don't need to be poked in the eye too many times to know we're not wanted. I still say, and I said this all along from the beginning, Karzai wants to be able to have it come out and happen at the last second. But I don't think that's going to happen. He either signs or he doesn't sign. Signs or he doesn't sign. It's that easy. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Herb London.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life, lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
No phone, no phone, and I just want to be alone today. No phone, no phone. Ringing, stinging, jerking like a nervous bird. Rattling up against his cage. Tossing me throughout the day. See the feathers fly. No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today. No phone.
So excited about our next guest here on America Tonight. Herb London is in our virtual green room. He's the president of the London Center. And check this out. He's the former president of Hudson Institute, which, of course, we all know. It's a world-renowned think tank in D.C., and I could go on and on about this man's credentials. He certainly has them, and he's written a book with two other terrific people called The SUNY Vanguard, and we have talked about this so much here on ATN about what the administration has done in the Middle East and ultimately how that relates to what we're seeing with Iran and the stability and just in general the situation. So the SUNY Vanguard is a must read for this audience without a doubt. Herb, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Pleasure to be with you, Kate.
So tell me, and I guess I know this as I kind of gave that setup there, but really, truly, what was the impetus for putting this together?
Well, the rapprochement that the United States is engaged in with Iran clearly suggests that there are going to be tectonic changes that occur in that part of the world. Most of the nations in the Middle East believe that the United States is now a power that is perfectly willing to allow Iran to possess nuclear weapons, or at least enough fissile material to produce nuclear weapons. The consequence of that are tectonic changes that are occurring in that part of the world. The Sunni nations are very, very nervous. Nervous about a Persian power emerging that will be engaged in the creation of the Shia Crescent. And that's one of the reasons why the three leading Sunni nations are so paralyzed and concerned about what will happen. And that's Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey.
Yeah, what was of everything that happened in Egypt, what was the biggest bungle there, do you think?
Well, the biggest bungle, of course, was the United States not really understanding policy. Here was Mubarak. I'm not saying that Mubarak belongs in the category of a Jeffersonian, but there was no question that he maintained the peace and he maintained order for a period of 30 years. 30 years. So that's not exactly insignificant. The point about the Mubarak administration is that when there were riots on the street, the administration turned against him. He had been a former ally. And now the administration turns against him, and they don't really know who they want to support. The next thing you know, the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over, and to my astonishment, Hillary Clinton and the President of the United States maintain that you can deal with the Muslim Brotherhood, that there are moderates in the Muslim Brotherhood. Of course, there's no truth to this claim, but that was the allegation that was made. And then, of course, Morsi is overturned. And why is he overturned? It's largely because of a popular uprising. The people were not happy about Morsi. They were not happy about the directions in the country. And it was perfectly clear that Morsi was moving in a very radical direction that was not in sympathy with the view of most Egyptians. And so I do not regard this so-called military coup as an actual coup. It was really nothing more than a popular uprising against the Morsi regime.
And with all the bright people that we have in this country, how is it that we end up, as you just so eloquently described, the Muslim Brotherhood backing Morsi? How is it that that can possibly happen? Put politics aside for a minute.
Well, I mean, is that there was no vision in this administration.
Yeah.
If you're leading from behind, then obviously the course of history is not something that you can direct. One of the problems that we have with this administration is that, by and large, there's no vision of what they want to achieve. If you create a vacuum in international affairs will be filled, and not necessarily by your friends. And so what you have to understand is, if you do not have goals in mind, you're not sure what you want to achieve, the likelihood is that terrible things will occur. And that's what we're seeing in Syria. We could have avoided this civil war in Syria 3 or 4 years ago. We could have supported the Syrian Liberation Army, which was really, by and large, freedom fighters, long before al-Qaeda and radical groups inserted themselves into that war. But the United States did not act. The consequence of not acting is that we are now in a terrible mess and really don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And as we talk about the region, so many of the countries not being stable, I cannot believe what I'm seeing either with Turkey. What are your fears for Turkey?
Well, the problem with Turkey is that for a considerable period of time, roughly 10 years, Erdogan got a free pass. And he got a free pass largely because the economy was doing very well from the year he was elected in 2002 till about 2008, when you had a collapse in the world economy. Since then, Turkey has been reeling. What you had very recently is an increase in interest rates to deal with the very, very sharp fall in the value of the lira. The consequence of that is going to be an economy that is stagnant, a lot of disruption in the society, interest rates that have risen very dramatically, which makes it hard to start businesses, and a lot of dissatisfaction with the Erdogan government. Keep in mind that, by and large, considering the Ataturk traditions in Turkey, most Turks are secular. They do not want to move in a radical Muslim direction. And yet that's where Erdogan was taking them. So now there's dissatisfaction on the religious side, dissatisfaction on the economic side, dissatisfaction on the political side because of internal corruption. And so you have a Turkey that is now in a very, very strange position. On the one hand, it is in what I would call the axis of moderation with places like Saudi Arabia, although I'm not sure I can call Saudi Arabia moderate, but moderate compared to other states. And then on the other hand, it has its foot in the camp of the axis of radicals with Iran, where they've been dealing with Iran for a considerable period, even though obviously one is Sunni and the other is Shia. So it's a peculiar state of affairs and a very, very flexible one. That is, it's difficult to know how things are going to unfold in Turkey. I do not believe that Erdogan is likely to stay in power, notwithstanding the fact that he's purged the army and the police force of most of his enemies. He's still going to have a difficult time to stay in office. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens in Turkey. Keep in mind that Erdogan also is described by President Obama as his closest ally on the world stage, which is peculiar in itself, since Turkey is obviously not an ally of the United States at this time, since they're very much opposed to American policy in Syria.
Yeah, as we go through the countries, we're talking about the scenarios here, and then we look at Saudi Arabia, and of course, even there, when you think of King Abdullah and you think of the relationships before with previous presidents, etc., I mean, some of that you can just throw out the window. And what happens if Saudi Arabia goes?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that Saudi Arabia is going anywhere. What will happen is, if Iran does possess nuclear weapons, you can be sure that the Saudis are going to be calling up their friends in Pakistan saying, please deliver that nuclear weapon to us as quickly as possible. They're not going to stand by with Iran with nuclear weapons and do nothing, recognizing the fact that most of the oil fields exist in the eastern part of Saudi Arabia, where, of course, you have a Shia population, even though this is a Sunni nation. So that the Iranians are looking at the eastern part of Saudi Arabia saying, boy, that's there for the picking. And Saudi Arabia, without nuclear weapons, is going to feel very vulnerable. So they're going to be in the nuclear weapons camp. We're going to see the proliferation of nuclear weapons in this part of the world, in large part because of the peculiar position that the United States is playing, or I should say, is not playing.
Yeah, and a lot of what we're talking about here, Herb, of course, is part of the Sunni vanguard. But tell us a little bit more about the book.
Well, the book was really came about in large part because I was very much interested in the emergence of these three Sunni states and what they mean for the world. The tremendous disruptions that have occurred in Egypt, the fact that the Saudi government itself may be in a precarious position based on the fact that it's largely the royal family that controls the country, and, of course, the situation that I described before in Turkey, where you see disruptions of various kinds, and obviously Turkey's been in the news in large part because of the scandals that have broken out in the internal apparatus within the country, within the country's political leadership. So there's a terrific opportunity, it seems to me, to start understanding that part of the world, particularly since this administration, as I indicated before, has no real vision of what it wants to achieve with both allies and enemies.
Yeah, and bouncing that ball further down the court, how important is it when the Obama administration turns over in our next election cycle?
Well, I think that there's a lot of issues to be addressed. One of them is to try and repair some of the relationship with our allies like Israel, and then on the other hand, to try and understand how we can play a more significant role, if there's any role to be played at all, after the damage that's been done by the Obama administration. My feeling, for example, is that we're playing our hand very poorly in Egypt at the moment. Egypt wants to root out the terrorists in the Sinai, arguably the most well-armed area in the world, most heavily armed area in the world. And they have asked for Apaches. The Apaches are obviously necessary to deal with the terrorists in this area. We have frozen these Apaches. They are not leaving North American soil, in large part because we don't have any confidence in the LCC government. And we raise this strange specter that we expect them to be more democratic. Well, if the choice is between the Muslim Brotherhood and the military, I know where I come down very easily. I'd prefer a controversy between Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson. But that's not what you find in that part of the world. You're dealing with dictators and radicals on one hand and a military on the other. I prefer the military. So I think that we've got to do what we can to assist the LCC government and do what we can to see it democratized in some sort of evolutionary way. But this administration is saying, well, they were not popularly elected. They do not follow the regimen of democracy as we understand it. And so we're not lending support to them. I think this is a thoroughly misguided policy. It's forcing the Egyptians into the hands of the Russians. As you know, el-Sisi has already talked to Putin about obtaining helicopters and various armaments from the Russians because we won't sell it to them. And so what we're saying, in effect, is that the United States does not have an Egyptian policy. We don't know what we want to achieve. Do we want Morsi back, who is making overtures to Karzai in Pakistan? Do we want to see the Muslim Brotherhood return? Do we want to see a radicalized Egypt? What do we want? It's not at all clear from the statements that have been made by this administration.
Yeah, I agree. So well said. Interesting stuff. Herb London, thanks so much for joining us here on America Tonight. And pick up the book, The Sunni Vanguard. You can get it Amazon.com, of course. Thanks so much and good luck with the book.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you, Kate. All the best.
Bye-bye.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Once again, I'm always astonished by the amount of mail that we receive here on America Tonight. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, yes indeed. Rodney, I think this guy has emailed me once or twice before. Rodney says, hello, Kate Delaney. I happened to catch you talking about that polio deal, or that illness was like polio that was affecting all those kids. It just sent a chill up my spine. My brother had polio. Luckily, he survived it. I'm 63 years old, and I can remember what that was like. And there, apparently, from what you said, they don't have a lot of hard research on what's going on here. And I think it's really sad. It's got to be rough for those kids, or those parents and the kids themselves with that paralysis. Yeah, it's like they're saying there's 20-some cases, something like that, in California. They're, of course, the neurologists are frantically researching it, trying to figure it out with how this virus was developed. But they have paralysis in one or two or even more limbs. So they're telling people, or at least what I saw was, if your child comes home and they say something's numb, you should just take them in because it could be something related to that. And it's a rare virus linked to respiratory illnesses. This is the one virus that they found, at least samples from a couple of the kids. So it's inconclusive. And I don't know. I think it's frightening. I really can't. I can't imagine how rough that would be to have a child have that happen and you really don't have the answers. You sort of know, and it seems like polio-like symptoms. Wow. So, yes, Rodney, scary, scary, scary. And I mentioned that, too, that my father-in-law had polio and that the stories that they tell, and he's around that same age, 60s, and it's scary. This one from Tom Tom, who says, Kate, I have been listening to America Tonight. Boy, we were also wrong on the medal count. I didn't get a chance to call you, but I was way off. I never thought the Russians would have more medals than us, and it's not really a Russian-U.S. thing. It's just that it seemed lackluster to me, the Olympics. There were some cool moments, But the moments seem far and few between. And maybe it's just that I'm a disgruntled American because my blasted hockey team didn't get into the gold medal game. I thought for sure they were going to come up with another goal and that by the end of it, if nothing else, we would get overtime. We didn't even see that happen. So I took off work, had a great beer lunch, if you know what I mean, but was not happy with the result. Go USA next time around. Yeah, next time around is in South Korea. We'll be talking about that. And I wonder with these hosting these Olympic Games, because in Russia, it was $51 billion, give or take. Could be a little bit more. $51 billion to put on the Olympics. That's just insanity, isn't it? I think so. I think it's crazy. Jake in Texas. Kate, what do you think happens as far as minimum wage is concerned? They've been blasting this all weekend long on the tube, so I've been kind of listening in. Doesn't sound like it's passing anytime soon. Now, there's not enough support, and we've been talking about that in the show. There's not enough support for raising the minimum wage to 10-10 at this point. They have to get the votes, and the Democrats are trying to do that. They'd have to get that and then a few extra. But there's just a lot of backlash, and Democrats in an election year are afraid to sign the bill for that reason. And what Harry Reid is saying, the majority leader, is that the Republicans are screwing this up because of their rhetoric and what they're saying about losing jobs and all this stuff, that it's scared people into hating it and that it's too much, too fast, blah, blah, blah. That whole philosophy is not true. But he's going to have trouble getting the votes. So he's saying that's not really true. And Mary Landrieu, I bring her up all the time, the senator from Louisiana, she's in the fight for her political life to keep her seat. So, I mean, they're running for re-election where the Prez lost by, double digits in 2012. So Landrieu knows this would not be the way to go at this point. At all. Let's take another one. John in Illinois says, Kate, it's so funny. You haven't talked about the weather, I think, in the last show or two. I love it when you talk about Mother Nature because you are right. The common denominator for so many of us is what are you wearing? What's going on? What's the weather like? And perhaps the weather people have become the most popular people around because we can't get enough of talking about some of the horrific things that we've been through. I, for one, am tired of snow, and I'm just tired of ridiculously cold temps. It just makes you lazy. You don't want to go out. You don't want to work out. I'm a pretty decent runner, but I have to tell you, I've been laying down on the job and eating more donuts than running. And that's what happens. You get kind of that wild, as you call it, cabin fever, and I certainly have had it. So bring on the spring. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah, bring on the spring. I think a lot of people would agree with that. It is true. You have to really push yourself. I mean, unless you work out indoors, right? But still, even then, you got to do the thing where you run to the car. And I do. There's no statistics on this that I know of, but it's like if you were to measure pounds, you probably put on a few extra pounds in the winter versus in the summer because naturally you just want to curl up and be by a fire or watch the tube or read a book or, I don't know, play cards, do whatever you do, but you don't necessarily want to cruise around in it, especially if you spent part of the day shoveling. I would love someone to call this show and tell me how much they enjoy shoveling. That it's a chore they love. You know, sometimes guys will tell me they like mowing the lawn. It's the accomplishment. It's a little bit of exercise. They come in and they drink a cold beer or iced tea if they're not drinkers or whatever. And they have that pride in the whole lawn thing. But I don't know that's true with shoveling. If you do have that, I want to hear from you. 855-266-5283. Rick says, whoa, stop the presses, lady. I listened to the deal about the New Testament stopping those bullets and saving that bus driver's life. I went to work and started talking about it. I had kind of a split schedule, and the dudes I work with were into that story. They couldn't believe it. They said it seemed a little trumped up, but I said that you talked about it on the air, and I have to believe it's not a tall tale. Oh, it's not a tall tale. You could Google it or go to some other search engine. No, it's true. It's this, in Dayton, Ohio. The bus driver was shot a couple of times, point-blank range, and he was actually stabbed in the arm. I don't know if I originally even said that. He survived the bullets that were aimed at his chest because he did have his New Testament Bible in his front pocket. And you see the Bible, I saw a picture of it today, and you can see where it hit. So, no, this is a true story. That's wild, isn't it? You could say the Lord saved his life. The suspect, after that happened, I guess they dropped the gun and just took off. And supposedly this was like a gang initiation, which is so sad. I think it's sad that you would do that to an innocent person. What is in your mind, but different culture, different situation, that's unexplainable to me, frankly. All right, one last one here. Let's take this one from Dot, who says, Kate, so sad to see the pictures once again of that air crash in San Francisco. You talked about it. You had a couple of people on, I think, talking about what they saw at one point. I remember hearing that. And I guess now finally there's going to be a fine to that airline for not helping the families. Do you know the one I'm talking about that happened last year? Yes. Asiana Airlines. I guess the government fined them $500,000 because they didn't help the families. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. There were some sad things that happened. There was the girl who got hit, the fire truck hit the teenage girl, but apparently she was already dead because originally the report was that she wasn't, and that was so shocking. The flight was full, and it's so weird to see how it clipped when it came in. I've flown into that airport only a handful of times, but it was awful. I mean, it's awful that happened, that they're right there. And there was when I said there was full passengers, you know, there was 291 passengers on that plane, and hitting that seawall and then tumbling down the runway, it's so rare. But so deadly. I mean, so deadly. So that's the first. I mean, I'm sure there's other lawsuits that are going on. But as far as the government and that airline, that's what they were able to get in a fine. Anyway, it doesn't bring some of those people back. And it certainly, can you imagine your nerves, what they were like if you were somewhere on that plane? Oof, my oh my. All right, any thoughts on anything, send it to us through the miracle of Al Gore's internet, americatonight.net.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.